Hello everyone, I'm Barry and this is Henry, or also known as Barry usually. We've been very fortunate so far that we've been able to put in a written submission about our relationship and some of the things that we feel we've been discriminated against. We've also been able to talk to the Human Rights and Equal Opportunities Commission this morning. So I guess we don't want to spend a lot of time, because I know it's really important that as many people as possible have a chance to say what's been going on in their lives. But I'd just like to start up, and can I firstly say it's been a really fascinating experience. It's almost been going back to consciousness raising, you know, listening to what other people have said. There were two remarkable women who talked this morning, and I was just aghast at how well they put their story and the sorts of things that had happened to them. And so every time we come to something like this, you just learn the most amazing things. In our submission, we made a statement that we felt we'd been really resilient, and we knew lots of gay and lesbian people who were just as resilient. And maybe having listened to all the stories and read about the stories now, we wouldn't place so much emphasis on resilience. We'd be asking ourselves, why the hell didn't we get more angry over all those years? Because when you look back and track the sort of things that you've had to cope with, it's been great that we've been so brave and resilient, as it were, but why should anyone have to put up with this crap is really what the question that we should be asking ourselves now. A very brief introduction to us. Barry and I met in the UK. I'd gone over on a working holiday visa. We met and we very quickly decided that we wanted to make a life together. I was in the position there of being a person there on a working holiday, and to be able to extend my stay in the UK, I was able to get a job in the Australian High Commission. It could have been any Commonwealth High Commission, which gave you the right then to remain in the UK as long as you worked within that particular position. If you lost the job, you lost the rights to residency, unless you had grandparents or parents, which I did not. So we lived a very happy life for a number of years, until such time as the embassy was starting to cut back on its staff. And at that time, we were really threatened with me losing my position there. It didn't happen, but it could have. And we had to try and think of some other alternatives to make sure that we were as secure as we possibly could be. The first thing we did is we went through that whole process of thinking about an arranged marriage, which would have been quite easy to do. But in the end, we decided that wasn't for us. And a couple of years later, we thankfully heard that the Australian government, being very liberated for the time, had actually instigated a process where gay and lesbian partners of Australians could softly apply and come into Australia on a tourist visa and then apply for residency while they were here. So in the end, that's what we did. I guess we lost a lot just by doing that and having to think about moving away from the UK where we were living together and come here. And I'll hand over to Barry to maybe just reiterate some of those other things that we lost having to make that sort of a move.
Some of the things a lot of people are aware of is by their restrictions on same-sex couples is the denial of creativity. And by Barry's circumstances, who is a very talented, very intellectual person, he has 5 degrees. But to be restricted that you're going to do a clerk's job forever and ever just to remain with your partner is just unacceptable. And because of the circumstances in the UK that if he lost his job, he would be deported, we made this application. It took 2 years, and it was about 1986, we got this letter, which was very innuendo, saying, well, if you were here, we could look at your case differently. And accordingly, we took that chance. However, we had to leave our home. We bought together. We had to lose our jobs. And that, for me, was very traumatic, because I enjoyed the job I did. I was well paid. And we came here. We're lucky. We were accepted, but it took, again, 2 years of interviews, and it cost us a lot of money. We lost our home in the UK, and I couldn't get a job because I wasn't allowed to work for a year. So we lived on Barry, working temporary, and that. And then I was eventually allowed to work as a volunteer. And during that time working as a volunteer, I got a job. But I couldn't get the jobs at all at the level of income that I would have had that I, in the UK. So we had a very strong financial bind on us. Also, during the time we were here, my mum took really sick very rapidly, and within a week she died. I was here, and I wasn't with my siblings or my dad or my mum. And my dad died very tragically by a hit and run incident. And my sister was on the telephone, absolutely traumatized and distressed. And I made the arrangements to go there, but by the time I got there, he died. And that came about because of our circumstances. If Bass had been able to stay in the UK and just us be us, that wouldn't have happened. But it did. And I find it quite distressing. All these things are coming back now after nearly 20 years. And I feel very emotional about it. The pain my family's gone through by me not being there. I being the oldest son in the culture I live in over there. The eldest son is the operative person over and above the parents. And I don't believe anybody should go through life with such uncertainty and with such trauma of just being themselves. And to all the young people out there, we feel for. We have been resilient because we fought and coped with all these issues. But I really feel for them because the truth hasn't hit them yet. And I would love to have seen teenage gays and lesbians here to hear some of the stories that are going to be told, because it's about a community. It's about people. Thank you.
Thank you.